Call this Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee meeting to order this afternoon. Today's February 5th, 2008, Tuesday. We've got four bills in front of us. We'll go ahead and get started with the first bill, which is Senate Bill 182. Before that, we've got to go ahead and state that Senator Thomas Wagner is here, Senator Albert Kukish is here, and so we got a quorum. With that, we'll turn it over to Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. There's a group that's pursuing a ballot initiative on this same topic, and we're not affiliated with that group. But when they initially filed their ballot initiative, it was rejected by the Lieutenant Governor. Because he said it had two different subjects, and constitutionally you can't do that. And there was a comic in one of the local Anchorage newspapers that the two subjects were clean and elections. So we're hoping to just give you a quick presentation. This will take about 10 minutes or so on what clean elections is. And first of all, it's public financing of elections. And basically, candidates for state office who demonstrate they have a strong base of support and agree to forego most private fundraising. I guess the important thing to remember is, as with this system, you can still privately fundraise. You have the option of foregoing private fundraising in exchange for public financing. How do you show that you have a strong base of public support? You have to go out and get a specific number of $5 qualifying contributions from registered voters in your district. And the number depends on which office you're seeking. How many $5 contributions do you need? Well, for a state house, you need 200. State senate, you need 400, and increasing up to 3,000 for governor. There is one exception to the private fundraising rule, and that is that candidates are allowed to raise a limited amount of startup or seed money to aid in the collection of qualifying contributions from voters in their district. And the amounts of that are $1,000 for House, $2,000 for State Senate, and then on up to $20,000 for Governor. The contributions cannot exceed $100. How much funding do you receive? The amount is based on what it takes to run a viable campaign in Alaska. These are based on some general averages, and one of the goals of clean elections is to try to slow down the escalating costs of elections. For primaries, candidates for state rep would receive $16,000, for state senator $24,000. This is just for the primary. And then on up from there, governor would receive $250,000. For general elections, the candidate would receive an additional amount, $24,000 for state rep, $36,000 for state senator, $500,000 for lieutenant governor. Now, what happens if you are a clean elections candidate, you're outspent by your opponent who is privately fundraising? Under the legislation, then you can receive up to three times the specified limit to match an opponent's spending dollar for dollar. So just going back, if you're running for state representative and your opponent raises $70,000 in the general election, well, you're entitled to your $24,000, but you're also entitled to up to three times his amount. So you could actually get in for the general election $70,000. And what ultimately happens with this is the provision provides an incentive for all candidates to participate in the system. Political parties can give an additional 10% to their candidates. Candidates without a recognized party receive 70% of the limit, while minor party candidates receive full funding. If you're unopposed, then the concept is you don't need as much money. You only receive 25% of the primary and general election limits. Have other states adopted clean elections? Yes. There are seven states that use it in one form or another. Some use it for only certain races. The two states that use it statewide are Maine and Arizona, and they've had quite an experience with it, which I'll go through. They have each gone through four election cycles, and the polling shows that voters and candidates like it. Polls in those states show about 80% of the public supports clean election systems. And the candidates also like clean elections. In Maine, the use of this system grows every year. For instance, in 2002, 62% of candidates used clean elections. In 2004, grew to 79%. 2006, 81% of all candidates used this system. In Arizona, what's happening is more people are voting. Since clean elections has been put in place there, voter turnout has increased 34% in non-presidential years, 7% in presidential years. You've also seen the number of contributors skyrocket in Arizona. It's gone up significantly. What you find is there's three times more people who give in governor's races. And what you also find is that this really opens it up for more low and middle income voters to actively contribute. It's also nonpartisan. One of the questions people ask me, well, does this benefit Democrats or Republicans? What's happened is in 2002, in Arizona, they actually elected 22 publicly funded Republicans and 17 publicly funded Democrats. So that year it actually benefited the Republicans. In 2006, Arizona elected 34 publicly funded Republicans and 50 publicly funded Democrats. So,
Senator Rutkowski, we just stop you just to make sure on the record we've been joined by Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And we're halfway through a PowerPoint presentation on 182 Clean Election Act.
Thank you.
Senator, go ahead.
Thank you. In Arizona, we've also had the first publicly funded governor who's been elected. Janet Napolitano is the governor there. She's been elected twice using clean elections. There are 11 statewide offices there, and 9 of those 11 were publicly funded candidates. The concept behind clean elections, publicly funded elections, is that it reduces the influence of large campaign donors and increases the influence of voters, leads to a greater accountability of the voters. I know, just speaking for myself, when I ran for office, one of the things that I personally disliked the most was going out and trying to raise money. I much preferred to be out talking to voters, and this does allow that. In fact, it really kind of forces you to get out and meet with your voters as opposed to spending time fundraising. The issue has been polled in Alaska, and there was a 2000 poll conducted by Krasian Research Group, and this was, I'm trying to remember the date on that.
Last March, I believe.
Yeah, it was probably about last March, and at that time about 70% of Alaskans favored the clean election system, publicly funded elections. In 2006, there was more than $17 million given for candidates for state office in Alaska, not including local or congressional races. And there were even unopposed candidates raised significant sums. The cost of clean elections in Alaska, it really depends on the number of candidates who participate. There's a United States Supreme Court decision that says participation cannot be mandatory, it's got to be voluntary. And the interesting thing about clean elections is actually the fiscal note goes down as more people participate in clean elections. If you have, let's say, half the people participating in clean elections, the fiscal note will be higher because if the non-clean elections people raise more money, the clean elections candidates get up to triple funding. So as more people become publicly funded candidates, the numbers actually go down and the fiscal notes actually go down. I've seen different estimates. We've been requesting a fiscal note from the administration now for months and months. We still don't have one. We're hoping to get one today before the end of this hearing, but if not, we hope to have one soon. I've seen estimates in different areas. It will be hard to tell, and any fiscal note I think needs to be looked at real carefully, but we're estimating it would be about $5 million, which is about 0.05% of the state's current budget. As you know, there's also a citizens initiative. A group called Alaskans for Clean Elections has collected more than 32,000 signatures to put this issue on the 2008 ballot. The initiative will likely appear on the 2008 August primary ballot. And the initiative group has verified the signatures, but of course the Division of Elections has to go through and verify the signatures as well. Once that happens, I would expect that this will be on the ballot. And this is just a quote from Bill Moyers, which I really like. People who have more money should be free to buy more cars, more homes, more vacations, and more gizmos than the rest of us. they should not be able to buy more democracy. And that really is the goal behind clean elections, is to just make it open so that every citizen, even those that don't have a lot of money, have an active role in selecting who the next their next legislator is or who the next governor is. Statistics show that 90% of the time, the candidate with the most money wins an election, rightly or wrongly. And what this does is it balances the field, it levels the playing field on money and campaigns. So the next part of what we're doing is, this is an educational process. We've got a number of committees that this bill has been referred to. You'll be seeing this on the ballot probably in August. And if the legislature decides that they want to investigate this, that they have issues they want to discuss on it, amendments they want to make to it, this would be the time to do that. And it's also to learn more about it, because obviously it won't apply to the November elections, but if it were to pass in August, then it will be up in 2010. So those of you who would be running in 2010 would potentially be running under this system. So it's an educational process. And also, I've never seen a bill that initially started out in its first committee end up the same way at the end of the whole process. So this is really an opportunity to make changes to it and try to correct it so it best fits Alaska. So with that, I'll end this presentation. If anyone has any questions, I'll be happy to answer them. And stop right there. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Any questions from the committee of Senator Wilkowski? Senator, when was the last time that you said there were a number of states that had implemented this process? Seven states, as I remember, Maine and Arizona being probably the ones that are farthest out ahead. How long ago did they pass the Clean Elections Act?
Maine and Arizona passed it four election cycles ago, so it would have been 8 years. This will be the fifth election cycle.
And no other state has done it in the meantime?
There are other states have, actually, in varying degrees. We had a list there. I think New Jersey, Massachusetts, Connecticut, I think, just recently passed it. Mm-hmm. Typically, it's done by the initiative process. Typically, the voters take this before a ballot initiative in it, and that's how it passes. I think Connecticut is the first state to have passed it themselves.
Through the legislative process.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Senator. Senator Wagner.
I understand what you said about, for instance, in Maine. Do you know what kind of restrictions they had on individual contributions or contributions from PACs or contributions by corporations prior to implementing clean elections? What, you know, because here, the reason I asked that question here, we got pretty stringent requirements of what people have to report, and also what you can receive from different people, and also what you can receive from out of state. So I was just wondering what that was.
Senator?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I'd be happy to look into that. I think we have actually someone from Arizona online who's familiar with the Arizona system.
Mr. Eric Est, are you online, sir?
Yes. Yes, Senator, I'm here.
Did you hear the question?
Yes, I did. Mr. Chairman, Senators, my name is Eric East. I'm the Executive Director of the Clean Elections Institute in Phoenix, Arizona. We are the successor organization to the committee that created and got passed Arizona's Clean Elections Act in 1998. And I believe the question was about limits on contributions. We do have, we had in place since the 1980s limits on contributions that can be made to candidates, both from individuals and from PACs. And they vary depending on the office and who the money is coming from. They are fairly low. They were not essentially changed by the Clean Elections Act. There were some small changes, but they do exist, and they exist along with clean elections.
Can you give us those limits?
For the 2008 election, the limit that an individual can give to a state legislative candidate will be $390. And that amount will be the same for what they could receive from a PAC. We do also have something called a super PAC that can give about five times that amount.
Okay. And are corporations allowed to give?
No. Corporations cannot give to any candidate race in Arizona.
Senator Wagner, you had a follow-up question?
Now, I'll think a little more about it before I ask. I'm going to formulate the question a little bit.
Senator Stevens.
Thank you. Just want to ask a question of Senator Volkowski. You indicated that it might be a cost of about $5 million. I was just trying to figure out how much is spent, how much was spent, say, in the last election. And I suspect it's going to be considerably more than that when you include the governor and lieutenant governor. I mean, I know that many people I know who run spend between $50,000 and $100,000 running for a Senate seat, which would total about $1 million for the 10 members of the Senate running, and say another $2 million for House members who are running. And so that's $3 million already, and without counting the gubernatorial race and the lieutenant governor, I would guess we're currently spending a lot more than the $5 million. Can you clarify that?
I think we had a slide that we estimated about $17 million was spent total in state elections. And the money that we give is, it is limited. It's, I have the numbers on another slide, and they're in the statute as well. We don't have a fiscal note yet. We've been waiting for that. It was an estimate. We're estimating $5 million. Could be more than that. That is true. And it really depends on how many people participate. But you're right, if you had, it will be more in gubernatorial years because you have more candidates that run. And gubernatorial candidates get much more than legislative candidates do. But if you figure that someone running for state house gets $40,000 max, and you have several candidates running, just the numbers that we figured. And we also expect that as you move on, the numbers actually get lower.
Senator Stevens, follow-up?
Just an observation. I guess I'm blessed by living in a rural area where when I run, I couldn't purchase television time if I wanted to. But the candidates from urban Alaska, I would guess that $40,000 would not be enough to run a campaign if you have to buy television coverage.
For a state house race. And really one of the goals is to try to keep costs in check. And one of the goals that we're trying to do is to really force people to get out and have house meetings and have town hall meetings and go door to door. When I ran for state senate, I spent $147,000. Mm-hmm. Urban candidates do tend to spend quite a bit more because we have access to that TV. And I think that's really one of the things that Clean Elections is trying to get away from. The candidate who goes on and really spends a lot of his money on 30-second sound bites on TV, it's hard to really get a good grasp of what they stand for, what they believe in. I think it's much better to have the one-on-one contact, the town hall meetings, the face-to-face contact. It will change the way candidates get elected. It will change the way that elections are run. And that is really one of the goals behind this.
Senator Stevens, go ahead.
Follow up, Mr. Chairman. My first election, when I ran for the House, I did spend less than my opponent and won the election. So it'd be interesting to know your comment about usually the person who spends the most wins the election. And is that true? I mean, it'd be interesting to know about past elections in Alaska. Has the person who spent the most money usually won? Can we say that that's simply not really true?
And I know the statistics that I gave were from California, actually, I believe, where it's 90% of the time, the person who raised the most money won the election, and 90% of the time, the person who raised the most money was the incumbent. As an incumbent, you typically have an advantage in money raising. In Alaska, you can look back at incumbent success, and I know, I think 4 years ago, every single incumbent that ran won. I think 2 years ago, about 90% of the incumbents who ran won. We can probably get you the statistics on how much money is raised, but I can tell you anecdotally, incumbents far, far outraise challengers. The interesting thing behind Clean Elections is, you know, because I hear people ask, obviously, legislators, you're all going to be running for reelection, how is this in fact, how does this impact incumbents? And I guess the way I look at this, if you add more money to the system, it helps incumbents. If you take more money out of the system, it probably helps incumbents as well. It's just the way the system is, because as an incumbent, if there's more money out there available, you're probably going to have a better likelihood of raising that money. If there's less money out there, well, you've got name recognition, and you have the ability to do newsletters, and your name is out there in the public. And so I think probably either way, I think it's probably a wash. And what you've seen in Maine and Arizona is it really hasn't had, you know, one of the things people said was this is going to wipe the incumbents out. It really hasn't had that effect. It's really had, in fact, very little impact on incumbents being elected or not elected. What it really is doing is just removing this mass amount of money that's being used in elections. And I think it really frees candidates up, incumbents and challengers, to go out and forces you to spend more time with your constituents, because they're the ones who can only donate to your campaign, and they're the ones who ultimately you need to spend your time persuading.
Senator Wagner.
Yeah, I'm very similar in nature to Senator Stevens about being in a rural district. And for instance, the last primary I ran in, I had raised about somewhere, I can't remember the exact number, I'd had to look it up at the exact time, but I probably didn't have over $25,000 in my campaign account. And my opponent all of a sudden put $140,000 in his campaign account. Now, if this was clean elections, how would that be addressed? In other words, what would the state pay into my account then if I were, instead of raising my own funds and using my own money, what would this cost the state in this election?
If you were a clean election candidate and your opponent was not, and again, this is purely voluntary, you don't have to accept, you don't have to be a clean elections candidate, then you would, as a state senator, in the general election, be eligible for $36,000. Now, if your opponent raised more than that, you would get a match up to three times that amount. So 36 times three, you would get a match. So that is what the state would pay.
So in the primary, I'm not talking about general, I'm talking about the primary. Mm-hmm. So he raises $140,000 in the primary. And you then I get, if I'm in the clean elections end of it, I would only be able to receive up to three times of what the primary amount is, right?
Yeah, actually in the primary, it's a little bit less. In the primary, I think it's $24,000. And so you would get three times $24,000. So you would get $72,000.
And so I've got 50% in my campaign account, and I'm capped out. He's got 140 in his, and he can continue to raise money or donate more money out of his pocket into that campaign. I think we got to be very careful how we're addressing these, because, by the way, I beat him with, you know, I'm still sitting here too. but that does concern me, that kind of thing. It really concerns me when we start talking about taking money out of public coffers and paying for elections too. I understand the process, but I'm very concerned about public funding of elections.
Senator Kukesh.
Against my nature.
I just wanted to ask a question. I know this isn't before us, but the you mentioned the initiative, so I just wanted to ask a question. Under the initiative process, do they have to tell how much money this is going to cost the state?
Well, I think the state is preparing a fiscal note, and
for the fiscal for the initiative
for clean elections
for the initiative.
Do they have to tell you? I think there's initiative people online as well, and they could probably answer.
I was
that
just wondering, because I know under the Frank initiative, mm-hmm. If you're going to move the capital, you have to see how much it's going to cost, and I think people would be maybe reluctant to give that kind of money to elect me to be a senator if they knew that it was going to cost the state that much money, because I'm just wondering.
Right. No, it's a fair question, and I think there are people on from the initiative process, and you can ask them that question.
And I just wanted to follow up, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Kukesh, go ahead.
I think that we need to also discuss, when we're talking about this, not only the cost to each for each candidate, but I understand there's going to be a commission and there's going to be an administrator, and you have to add those kind of costs into the whole process and what the cost is going to be to the state, even under your bill.
And actually, Senator, through the chair, that is something that's been factored in, that we're factoring in.
Before we go on to Senator Stevens, I want to ask Tim June, are you on, sir?
Yes, I am.
And are you the person that we can ask the question of when you're in the initiative process? Can you go ahead and, or are you required to go ahead and look at the fiscal note and prepare one?
Yeah, actually what happens is when we submitted the petition to the Lieutenant Governor's office, then they prepare a fiscal note that's actually attached to all of our petition books. So it was in all of our 1,000 petition books. And I apologize, I turned them all into the Lieutenant Governor. I don't have one in front of me, but if my memory serves me right, the Lieutenant Governor's cost estimate from Department of Revenue was between $5 million and I believe $10 million. It was variable depending on the level of participation. And at Alaskans for Clean Elections, we actually had a lower cost of between $3 and $5 million. And in terms of Senator Kukesh's question on the administrative part of that, Lieutenant Governor's office, I believe it was calling for two or three full-time employees and I believe eight part-time employees, and it came to about $460,000 a year for the administrative part of that, and that was included in those costs.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. June.
You're welcome.
We have Brooke Miles here. Can you come up and speak to the fiscal note, please? Don't mind, Senator? Okay. Please identify yourself and who you're representing, and then go ahead on that specific question. It has to do with the fiscal note.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Brooke Miles. I'm the Executive Director of the Public Offices Commission, and the Public Offices Commission is submitting a fiscal note that should be here any moment.
We'll go ahead and take an at ease while the fiscal note is passed out.
Did you feel the building shake, Mr.
Chairman? This fiscal note reflects the Commission's best cost estimates for administering a new clean elections section of the Public Offices Commission. For the most part, it is, as you can see, in personal services. And there would be one high-level accountant position overseeing two other fairly high-level accounting positions, two compliance officers and an administrative assistant. As you know, it would be the commission under this bill that would be responsible to certify that candidates qualify for the clean elections and then for disseminating money. And quite frankly, the commission has no experience in giving out money. It seems the Department of Revenue has more experience. Nonetheless, we've worked very hard on this. I should say that this also includes office space, administrative support, computers, that kind of support for the staff. And the commission will continue to follow this legislation and do its diligent best to report what we believe the costs will be for our agency.
Ms. Brooks, as I look at this, the numbers, and how long have you had a chance to review the numbers?
Well, actually, these numbers are based on the same numbers that we were asked to provide through the petition process. The Office of Budget and Management asked our agency to prepare costs along this line. So that was back in the late summer. But there was some communication breakdowns with respect to the preparation of this particular fiscal note, but it's not just a last-minute guess.
I guess my question has to do with the accuracy of the number as to whether you thought it was within a certain range.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Oh, the number of giving out?
No, this number of the fiscal note.
Oh, absolutely, no. I'm sure that these numbers do reflect those personnel costs. Mm-hmm. That I reported to you. Absolutely.
Senator Kukesh has a question.
I wanted to know where the fiscal note would be that covers the costs for the candidates. Mm-hmm. This is only for administration, right?
This is just APOC's administration of it. And I don't know who is responsible for preparing the fiscal note. I know that when we were working on trying to determine how much it would cost based on the statistical figures that APOC has in a gubernatorial election, that if every single candidate qualified and ran, it would be between $10 and $12 million. Every single candidate qualified for public funding. Sure. Of course, you'd get into none of the contingency actions on those. Those were the thing that really stumped me.
Senator Stevens, you had a question.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, that's exactly the same question I was going to ask Ms. Miles. Could you, because all of the money spent are reported to APOC by the senators, the representatives, the lieutenant governor, and the governor. Can you give us an accounting of how much was spent in 2000, for example, so we have an idea? I suspect it's over $10 to $12 million. It's got to be over that figure. But and if that's true, I'd appreciate that as well.
I can get back to the committee with those statistics, Mr. Chairman, quite easily. And from 2000, 2004, we went to the gubernatorial and then non-gubernatorial years. We have the summary figures of how much was spent by all the candidates, and I can get that for you.
Thank you, Ms. Miles. Okay. Any further questions of Ms. Miles? Thank you very much for your testimony, and I'm assuming that you're going to stay here for questions?
I'm here.
To testify?
For questions.
Okay. Thank you. Senator Bulikowski, you want to comment on the fiscal note now that you had a few minutes to review it?
1 minute.
Well, obviously, this doesn't include the cost of the election, so there's another fiscal note. Mm-hmm. Understand from the from Ms. Miles, she said $10 to $12 million, and I think Tim June from the Clean Elections said the fiscal note was prepared by revenue. Yeah. For the initiative, which is really not very much different than our bill. So they're saying 10 to 12. I don't think it's quite that high, but if that's what their fiscal note is, then it's one of those. It's kind of hard to tell, but
sure.
I would say it's probably in the $3 to $12 million range.
Okay. Thank you. Any further questions of the bill sponsor? Senator Wagner.
I just say that's quite a range, $3 to $12 million. I would like to have the staff get exactly what was on the initiative and get the amounts and report them to it, so we look at that along with this fiscal note. Shouldn't be too hard to do.
Mr. June, is that possible?
Yes. I could get that to you, certainly not today, but I can call my campaign manager and try to get a copy of that petition book to you.
And you could work with my staff, Jeannie Osterman, to get that information to her, and then she can disseminate it accordingly.
Okay. I will do that, Chairman. Thank you.
Okay. If you're finished with your presentation, there's no further questions from the committee, we'll go ahead and ask the those people that are online to go ahead and testify. We don't have anybody here. Everybody that wants to testify is online, and we'll go ahead and start with Mr. East in Arizona, since he's the furthest away. And even though you've already spoken, Mr. East, I'd like to go ahead and have you go ahead with your testimony. But what I would like to do is, we've got almost a dozen people on here to testify, so I'd like to make sure we keep it down to 2 or 3 minutes, if at all possible, before so we can get everybody in. Mr. East,
thanks,
if you would,
thanks,
please.
Mr. Chairman. Yes, I guess I am the farthest away. I don't know if that makes a difference or not. Senator Wielichowski covered fairly well a lot of the information about Arizona. One thing I would like to add is that there were really two purposes to the to clean elections. One is to allow more candidates to run and level the playing field between candidates who have access to money and those who don't. The system has certainly done that. The number of candidates is up by about 20% from before clean elections. We have virtually no uncontested statewide races anymore, and more of the legislative races are contested than in the past. The other purpose was to help reduce the influence of special interest money on the making of public policy. And that's harder to quantify, but I certainly have a number of legislators who will be happy to tell you that they now, when the lobbyists come into their office, they can listen to the merits of the argument and not worry about whether they're raising the money or not, which makes a big difference. A number of the lobbyists will also privately, probably not publicly, but privately, tell you that they're happy to not have to go out and raise bundles of money for candidates. So it works both ways. The system has been successful in Arizona, and Senator Wielichowski really covered that. I was asked to talk about some of the concerns about the system and how things have turned out. You talked about money. One of the concerns was it was going to be too expensive. In our 2006 election, the candidates got $9.5 million, and that was a full statewide races, governor and all, which worked out to about a little over a dollar and a half per resident. People worried that it would be unconstitutional. It infringes on free speech. We've won a whole number of court cases about that. It's now in effect in seven states, and it actually increases speech because when somebody attacks a clean elections candidate, they get money to respond to the attack. It's been called an Incumbent Protection Act. There hasn't been a large reduction in the incumbent re-election rate, but it has gone down somewhat. And all, as I said, all of our statewide races are now contested, which they didn't used to be, and the races are a lot closer than they used to be. It allows, we've got more contested primaries. It allows credible candidates of the minority party, if you've got a lopsided registration district, to actually run a credible campaign and be available in case the majority party candidate turns out to have a fatal flaw. We've had that happen in a couple of cases. People said it was going to be easy. It was going to be free money for candidates. You know, they'd get this money and go out and, you know, easy to get and go out and blow it. It's really not easy to go collect those $5 contributions. We've had a number of incumbents who haven't been able to qualify for the program. We actually had a nephew of Barry Goldwater, whose name is Goldwater, who ran for governor in 2006, and he just barely qualified for the program right at the last minute. So it does take work. And also people were concerned about a lot of fraud and abuse in the system. And our system is set up so that all of the finance reports from the clean election candidates are reviewed by the commission to make sure that all the expenses are proper. There's random audits done of different districts and different offices for all candidates, including the traditionally financed one. If anybody does violate the system, there's pretty hefty fines that are built in. Your bill is similar, and those fines have to be paid out of the candidate's personal monies. So they're real afraid to violate the system. We actually did have one sitting legislator who was removed from office for violating the system, and you have a similar provision in your bill because he overspent the spending limit by more than 10%. And we had one really obvious case of abuse where there were three 20-something libertarian candidates who all qualified for clean elections in the 2002 election and went and spent most of their money in nightclubs. And they were caught. They had to pay back the money, pay fines. One of them is still a fugitive from justice. And one last concern was that it would increase the power of independent expenditure committees, the so-called 527s. Candidates wouldn't be able to raise enough money to run their own campaigns, but these independent expenditure committees would come in and take over everything. And that hasn't happened either, and in actuality, the clean election system does give participating candidates matching funds to respond to attacks on them that are made by independent expenditure committees.
Mr.
So it
East,
really does level the playing field in that way.
Mr. East, I want to thank you for your testimony, and if you could sum it up, I'd appreciate it. We've got a number of people there.
Yeah, I'm really finished. As the Senator Wielichowski said, the system works amazingly well, considering it was put together by a group of citizens. It is popular. 83% of registered voters who know something about the system in the last poll said they support it. It's popular with the elected officials. We have a number of legislators who never would have run for office or been able to run for office without the system who are now sitting in the state legislature. So, and it is a nonpartisan system that does not inherently favor either party, although it does hopefully stimulate challengers.
Mr. East, thank you very much. Do we have any questions of Mr. East by any member of the committee? If not, we'll go on to our next person. That's Tim June and Haynes. Mr. June, if you could give us your testimony and keep it to 2 to 3 minutes, if you could, please.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman Olson and members of the Community Regional Affairs Committee. Thank you for this opportunity to address Senate Bill 182, and I would like to recognize our prime sponsor, Senator Wilikowski, and his help in this. My name is Tim June. I live in Haynes, Alaska. I'm chair of Alaskans for Clean Elections, a group of fellow Alaskans who recently submitted our Clean Elections Initiative to the Division of Elections with over 33,000 signatures. We're confident our initiative meets the necessary requirements to appear on the 2008 ballot. We verified at least 24,000 of those 33,000 signatures against a current voter database. We secondarily verified the district minimum signature requirement in at least 34 of the 40 House districts in Alaska. Of interest to your members, I have some totals here from Senate districts. Senate District C, we have 935 verified signatures. Senate District D, 1,501 signatures. Senate District Q, 322. And I should point out that District Q is a non-target district for us. We had to select a certain number of districts not to focus on because of the cost considerations. Senate District R, we have 927 verified signatures, and Senate District T, 726. So it's abundantly clear that tens of thousands of Alaskans from every district and from every political persuasion want to afford the people of Alaska the opportunity to vote on this voluntary and alternative system of campaign financing, commonly referred to as clean elections. And Senator Wilikowski already covered what states are using it. I think what I'll do is go right to the concerns about the cost. There may be concerns about the cost of clean elections for the state of Alaska. While the actual cost is variable and directly tied to the willing participation of candidates who voluntarily use clean elections, we at Alaska for Clean Elections estimate the cost between $3 and $6 million per year. Lieutenant Governor's office estimated the cost between $6 and $11 million per year, I believe. Clean elections is a system that will take a few election cycles to come into its own. The surprising news about clean elections is the higher the candidate participation level, the less clean elections will cost the state of Alaska. And again, that's because as more candidates participate, for instance, in Maine now, they're up to, I believe, about 83% clean election candidates running for office. The state does not have to then make matching costs, and each clean election candidate running against each other is limited to the base amount of $40,000 for a House seat, $60,000 for a Senate seat. So that's why the cost is actually decreased. With either estimate, either the state's or our own, let me try to put that in perspective. The total state capital and operating budget is over $10 billion a year. If we agree that our elected legislators are essentially money managers for that money that belong to the people of Alaska, and if we further agree that clean elections will allow elected legislators to make financial decisions based on merit without any consideration of financial or implied obligation to wealthy campaign donors, lobbyists, or their wives, then $10 million is a very worthwhile expense. $10 million per year is a mere one-tenth of 1% of the total capital operating budget. It's a percent of a percent. Any professional money manager in the private sector charges many, many times more than that for their services. To look at this $5 to $10 million cost from another perspective, let's pretend that we had a completely unencumbered clean election legislature voting on the 2006 PPT tax. It's very likely that a higher tax rate would have prevailed, increasing state revenues by at least $2 billion a year. Just 1 year's revenue on one vote on one bill could have paid for every clean election candidate campaign, for every legislative seat, and every statewide office for the next 200 years. While some might argue that this money could be better spent elsewhere, we cannot ignore the reality that our current campaign financing system sometimes allows and even encourages millions of dollars to be spent on special interest projects that may directly benefit a wealthy campaign donor, not unlike the ongoing investigation into Congressman Don Young's $10 million appropriation to the Coconut Road interchange in Florida. Clean election eliminates this unproductive relationship between elected officials and special interest donors. In terms of looking at the corruption end of this, I should say that we drafted this well before the indictments happened in March of March of 07. And I would like to address the current elephant in the Capitol building, the corruption scandal. Without getting into specifics, from a public policy perspective, Alaska needs to make significant changes to our system of governing. Bribery and corruption were not discovered by our Alaska Public Officers Commission. It was not discovered by the Attorney General of the state of Alaska. It was not discovered by the Alaska State Troopers. And it was not discovered by the Legislative Ethics Committee. It was only discovered by the federal FBI and the Federal Department of Justice. We as Alaskans, we as a state, have a responsibility of protecting our democratic system, and clean elections is that positive step in accepting our responsibility to govern. I urge the committee to approve this bill and move it on to the next committee, and I thank you for your time and concern.
Thank you very much for your testimony, Mr. June. Do you have any questions of Mr. June by any members of the committee? Thank you for showing up today. Senator Stevens, go ahead.
Mr. June, I appreciate your comments earlier when I was talking to you about it, and I think I might very well, if this were to pass, would take advantage of the clean elections. But I think I heard you say that if there had been clean elections candidates, there would have been a higher tax on the oil industry. Is that what you said?
I was suggesting that if we had an unencumbered legislature, that likely a different tax would have prevailed. You know, without getting into the specifics of, you know, influence versus those that, you know, have been convicted of bribery, I'm just suggesting that each vote that you as legislators make has a cost to it, and many times a fiscal cost. And I think the advantage in talking to people from other states that have clean elections in place, legislators are so unencumbered, so able to make the right decision without any of the complications of, you know, who donated how much money, what special interests there are, what lobbyists there are. There's a tape from an Arizona Republican legislator that, you know, he just extols the virtues of being able to show a lobbyist to the door and without having any repercussions from that, simply because he's responsible to his constituents. And so I'm only suggesting that clean elections allows all legislators to act more responsibly and in the best interest of Alaskans without those complications.
Senator Stevens, a follow-up?
Oh, that's fine. I appreciate that.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry, Mr. Senator Wagner.
I wasn't going to go here, but I just got to make one statement. Just because the state of Alaska, if this clean elections bill passed, would be paying for the elections, that still doesn't make me comfortable thinking all legislators are going to be honest. It's up to the electorate to elect honest legislators, ethical legislators, to come to Juneau and do the business of the state of Alaska. And if a person is going to be unethical and dishonest, this is not going to stop that action from taking place. And I heard him testify that he thought it would in certain cases. And I don't think that's going to have that much effect on somebody who wishes to be dishonest, who wishes to promote pieces of legislation for his personal benefit in several different ways that could benefit individuals. So I think that should be taken off the table. I think this is more about do we want to give everybody an equal footing in elections and give incumbents, new people running for office, a better chance against people who have the power of the incumbency. Now, I said I can buy that argument, but some of this other argument I can't buy on this.
Thank you very much, Mr. Wagner. Any further questions, Mr. June, by any members of the committee?
Yeah, actually, may I respond to that, Mr. Chair?
Go ahead, Mr. June.
Yes, Senator Wagner, I completely agree with you. This, you know, clean elections is not going to stop bribery or some of the acts that we witnessed during the 2006 PPT tax. However, I think the thing that it gets to is it gets to the relationship between large campaign contributors and elected legislators, and it breaks that relationship. And I must say I've run for office twice, so I'm familiar with the difficulties of fundraising, and also the sometimes implied obligations that some of that fundraising allows. And so, no, it won't stop bribery, but I think the beauty of it is it breaks that relationship from the beginning. There's no starting of the relationship in the campaign itself, so that once someone is elected, then there's an open door that is implied in that campaign contribution.
Thank you, Mr. June.
And also, Senator Wagner, I did want to get back to a question that you had of the unfair, if you have a personally wealthy candidate coming in against you. We looked at that, and there's no constitutional way to block a candidate from spending however much of their own money that they can. And the best solution that we came up with was we looked at the House and Senate races, which across the state averaged in the House races in 2004 and 2006 averaged about $53,000 across the state. And we understand Senator Stevens' concern of those television Anchorage races that sometimes spend $60,000 just on their media campaign. And so what we tried to do is we created a balance. We certainly didn't want to overspend public monies, but at the same time we wanted to make clean election candidates competitive. And so, therefore, for a House race, allowing that three times the $40,000 for a total of $120,000. For a Senate race, I think it would allow up to $180,000. We thought that wouldn't always guarantee there wouldn't be candidates that could spend their own money and put in more than that, but it would certainly guarantee somebody a very good opportunity to put their foot forward, let the public be exposed to who they are, and run from that perspective.
Senator Wilikowski, on that point, is there a restriction that an individual candidate can put his own personal money into the race in your bill?
There is.
There is, and what's the restriction?
I don't think you can put any of your own money in.
You cannot put any of your own money in.
Yeah, you're putting your own money in is the equivalent of you putting other money in. And again, that's something that if this body decides they want to change and allow that, I'd be open to that discussion.
Okay.
But in the initiative, that's the way it is. Okay. In the bills it's currently written, that's the way it is.
Thank you, Senator Wilikowski. Mr. June, thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Our next person to testify is Malcolm Roberts. Mr. Roberts, are you on, sir? Mr. Roberts is not on. We'll have Dick Ross. Mr. Ross, are you on, sir? Mr. Ross, if you're not on, we'll go to Pat Luby. Mr. Luby, are you on, sir?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead with your testimony. Identify yourself and tell us what you have to say.
My name is Pat Luby. I'm the Advocacy Director for AARP in Alaska. AARP is nonpartisan. We don't contribute to any candidates. We don't endorse any candidates, and we don't endorse any parties. However, we do encourage our members to get involved in the party of their choice and to get involved in election activity and to be very intelligent and well-researched when they show up at the polls. I called my colleagues in Arizona, Maine, and New Jersey to find out how their clean election efforts turned out. They indicated that more people voted, more people got involved. Even people who just gave $5 to a candidate began to pay more attention to what that candidate, as well as his or her opponents, had to say about the process. That's something that we endorse. We think more and more citizens should get more and more involved in our political process. In terms of the question, in terms of the television advertising, whether you could afford it, if you did this, on a personal note, I think you would find that many of your constituents would be delighted if we had a few less television ads to watch during the election season. AARP thinks that clean elections, that this Senate Bill 182 is a good idea. It will involve more people in the process. It will involve more people in public financing, and we certainly think that if the more people who get involved in this, the more time you have to pay attention to the public policy decisions that face you every day, and the less time you have to spend on fundraising, that's good for all Alaskans. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Luby. Are there any questions from the committee of Mr. Luby? If not, thank you very much for coming out this afternoon, and we will go on to Steve Clary. Mr. Clary, are you on, please?
I am, Mr. Chair. Can you hear me okay?
You're coming in loud and clear, sir.
Great. My name is Steve Clary. I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Public Interest Research Group, ACPIRG. I've got about 1,500 members and been around since 1974. And real briefly today, I'm here to encourage your support of Senate Bill 182 as well. We're very much in favor of clean elections and see it as a great way to reinvigorate our democracy. You've heard most of the great parts about clean elections already. We believe it will level the playing field for candidates, inspiring more and different people to run for office. And candidates will not have to rely on a small number of large donors to fund their campaign. They'll be able to talk and interact with constituents themselves. It's also a firm belief of ours that a lot of the money used in political campaigns right now is used to raise money itself. So let's say a candidate were spending $100,000 on his or her campaign. A significant amount of that is dedicated to the fundraising itself. It's dedicated to the letters and envelopes and calls that go out. So this clean elections can free a candidate from that time and an expense and allow him or her to pursue a more direct campaign with voters. And with clean elections, corporations and special interests can't buy their way into the halls of government. Special interest money is simply taken out of the equation, putting people back in charge of the electoral process. And that's exactly what we believe Alaska needs right now. The investment, and we see it as an investment, in clean elections in Alaska will be a positive step towards political reform in Alaska, enabling Alaskans of all political stripes to run for office and put out their ideas as to what is best for Alaska. And that's exactly what the founders of this country and this state had in mind. And thanks for the opportunity to testify today, and we encourage your support of this legislation.
Thank you very much for your testimony, Mr. Clary. Are there any questions of him by any members of the committee? If not, is there anybody else online? Okay, we'll go ahead and is there anybody else in the room that wants to go ahead and testify to Senate Bill 182? If not, we'll go ahead and close public testimony for Senate Bill 182. And do you have any closing comments, Senator Wilikowski?
Again, I know that some of you may disagree with the concept of clean elections. I respect that. One of the reasons we brought this forward was to have the discussion, have the debate. I think it's a good debate. I think it's worthwhile to have the discussion. My personal belief is that this, more than anything else, allows you to go out and spend more time with your constituents, to go and really interact with them and be responsible to them. I guess my main goal would be to try to have other committees hear this bill. I guess I don't have tremendous illusions that this bill will pass, but it is up for initiative in August, and I think it's something we should have the discussion on. And if there are things that need to be fixed in it that we can correct here, I would say let's try to do it legislatively rather than have this imposed upon us by the people who, at least according to the polls that I've seen, are going to do this. Thank you for your time, Mr. Chair and members of the committee.
Senator Kukesh.
Senator Wilikowski, when do you think you might be able to get us a fiscal note on the candidate cost?
Yeah, no, I apologize for that. We've been working on trying to get that, and
we just ran upstairs to the administration, and they came back and said AIPAC was going to prepare it. So I would think by the next meeting, something should be worked out.
Okay. Thank you.
before we have that, we probably ought to have you identify yourself, since it's probably going to be part of the record. Could you have your staffer identify yourself?
You identify yourself for the record.
I'm sorry. My name is Michelle Seideman, and I'm a staffer to Senator Bill Willikowski.
Thank you, Ms. Seideman. Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to say that the thing I hate the most about running for office is asking your family for money and our friends to make contributions. It's a sort of an embarrassing position to be in. And so I think this is an interesting thought. I guess one thing that sort of concerns me, though, is the pejorative comments about people who are part of clean elections, because I think I heard you say you talked about non-clean elections people. So you've got people who, maybe myself, maybe Senator Wagner, if we run again, would say would choose to be a part of this, and so we might be a part of the clean elections people. But then the non-clean elections people are those who chose not to be a part of it. So I think we got to find a better terminology. I mean, it sounds like either you're clean elections or you're for dirty elections, and clearly none of us are in favor of dirty elections.
Thank you. That's a good point. And there are this is the name that it's called in the seven other states, and we just picked up on it. I know that you see federal bills, the Clean Skies Act, the No Child Left Behind. I mean, there are names that people attach that don't necessarily reflect what they actually do. But I just want for the record to state that by using that name, Clean Elections is in no way meant to say that people who may choose not to do this, and that is your right, are in any way unclean or, you know, not being, yeah, using.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. or Senator Stevens. Anybody else have any questions of the bill sponsor? I think what we're going to do is hold this. Well, I know what we're going to do. We're going to hold this bill aside until we get more information around that, and then look at it from that perspective again. Okay. Thank you very much for coming out this afternoon.
Thank you.
I want to thank the division as well as APOC for coming out as well. The next bill we're going to hear is Senate Bill 122, which has to do with the municipal property tax exemption. But before that, I just want to put a note that we've got two other bills and after that, and since we have to be out here at 5 o'clock, we'll probably not be hearing Bill 204 and 235. I'm getting that easy. How long do you think it's going to take for you to...